Hello, and welcome to the Transcending CRM Podcast, a show where we explore how the Salesforce ecosystem has impacted the careers of fellow trailblazers and the businesses that have leveraged dynamic growth from the platform. This podcast is brought to you by Silverline. Silverline is a Salesforce digital transformation consultancy headquartered in New York City, specializing in financial services, media and entertainment, and healthcare industries. I'm your host, Elliot Spence, Principal Consultant at Silverline, along with my co-host, JP Owens, Managing Director of Banking and Lending at Silverline. Today, we are joined by Mackenzie Paulson. Mackenzie is the Salesforce product owner at Green State Credit Union. Mackenzie has been with Green State for over 7 years and was a key stakeholder involved in Green State's evaluation and implementation of Salesforce. Mackenzie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, you guys. Sorry it took me a while to get on here, but I really look forward to talking to you and miss working with you both. So I'm excited for this conversation. I really appreciate it.
It's definitely going to be great. I'm looking forward to it as well. It's been a while since I've been on the podcast myself. JP was just giving me a hard time because I've skipped out on them because I've been busy with projects. But here we are back together again. We're excited to get another show recorded.
But I know we're going to ask you some questions about how you got started on all this. But Mackenzie, I think the fun fact that I want to highlight before we even get into this was I joined Silverline a little over 4 years ago, and it might have been my first week at Silverline. And we ran into each other at New York City World Tour as you were just getting started in your role, I believe. So at least focus on the Salesforce side. So we go that far back, I think, for our first introduction. And then you kind of got introduced with that Elliot guy back when he was still working at the bank back in the day.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot about that. Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Yeah, we connected for networking purposes because the bank that Elliot was at was utilizing Salesforce already. And so prior to us even signing, as I was doing my due diligence, he was someone that I talked to. I completely forgot about that. Yep.
So this is a long time coming.
We've definitely made our rounds.
Yeah.
Before we get into all the difficult questions, can you take a moment and just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your current role at Green State?
Yeah, sure. So I've actually been in the CRM space for 14 years now. I started off my career out of college in marketing at a local newspaper, and then I went to a bank and I started at the bank in marketing and transitioned into a CRM role that actually kind of landed me where I am today. So after that, I've managed three different CRMs, so including Salesforce. So at Green State currently, I am responsible for overseeing the Salesforce strategy, design, implementation, training, and optimization of Green State Credit Union's enterprise CRM, which is Salesforce. So my biggest focus areas right now are to ensure that the Salesforce implementations and usage align with our company's vision, our goals, meet business needs, and drive growth. So I also collaborate really closely with every cross-functional team. We have every department on Salesforce except for two company-wide. So I work really closely with IT, all member-facing sales departments, all back office departments, our digital transformation and marketing team, and the senior team members. So what I've come to find about my role this past year is it's truly just a balancing act. So it's a balancing act between forecasting upcoming work. And I don't use the word plan because we are agile development. So things change and we pivot very quickly. So planning is kind of out the window sometimes. So I focus on balancing between product scoping, schedules, quality, risks, impacts, all while monitoring and responding to issues that come up, ensuring that our Salesforce vision and priorities and product backlog are all aligned. So that's my primary responsibility. But I would say one of the biggest pieces of my job right now is determining what not to do. So if it isn't going to create value or money, it's an easy no for me. And that's kind of the starting point. But there's a lot of wants and wish lists and ideas coming from every single stakeholder. And so that is probably one of the biggest things is determining what not to do.
Mackenzie, you just covered a lot of wide-ranging areas, which I think is people who listen to this are going to like be nodding their heads and resonating because every Salesforce admin product owner definitely has to be nimble and kind of really understand everything going on within the business. But you did a ton of planning in the beginning when we talked about first running into you at World Tour and talking about what you were looking to do. So you definitely invested the time and the effort to figure out what the business needed and why. But could you take us back to that time a little bit and talk a little, where was Green State in 2019, 2020? What was the asset size and number of people you were looking to help build a platform for? And then kind of where are you today?
Yeah. So at that point, that was 2019. I was actually the CRM admin and lead for our retail-only CRM at that time at Green State. So it was the CRM that our member-facing retail team used, and I was in charge of that. And ever since I started at Green State as that person to take over the retail CRM and lead that, ever since I was hired, I always advocated for one CRM for all. So that's what I did at the previous bank that I had worked for, is everyone was on the same CRM. So I was kind of on a mission to advocate for that at Green State as well, ever since I started 7 years ago. So two newer executives came to Green State. And with that, they came with past Salesforce experience, which led me to being tasked with starting that vetting process on Salesforce because of their usage of it in their past roles as well, and seeing the need at Green State. So that's kind of how that evolved. And then that's why I ended up at the Salesforce New York City World Tour in December of 2019. That's when I started doing the vetting and the research for it. And then I just kind of dove into the ecosystem on Trailhead, Google, YouTube. You know, after you and I met, that was a huge connection for me. And then, you know, we worked closely together and we stayed in contact after that. And you pointed me in some really good direction on where I should research and what I should look into. And then I know you introduced me to Elliot. So he wasn't even working for Silverline yet, like we talked about earlier. So it was a lot of just Google, YouTube, and Trailhead after the New York City World Tour when I really got my eyes opened at that.
I still learn a lot from Google, YouTube, and Trailhead. So that is some of the best assets to admins, to solution architects. And that's one of the great things about the ecosystem is if you can think of it, if there's a problem or a question you have, there's a good chance somebody else has had it. And that's the beauty of the Salesforce ecosystem and community, is that there's so much out there to help you. Another thing you said, and you said this a while back when you were introducing yourself, but I loved hearing how you have to balance a lot of the requests and a lot of the enhancements that some of the users bring to you, and you just basically balance them out. Does it create value? Does it create money for us? If not, it's a simple no, because there's just so much, especially when you get everybody in the bank or everybody at the credit union using the system. There's so many requests. How do you balance them all? And I think you have a great way of evaluating them. But your professional career started within marketing, and over the years, you've transitioned well into the CRM space, but you still maintain a lot of those duties in marketing as well. How has that experience helped you transition into your new role that you hold today?
Yeah, so while my career in marketing specifically was pretty short-lived, once I started to work with a CRM and gain more knowledge and experience on that, and my passion took off, I still utilized the marketing piece and experience. But in terms of how marketing complements Salesforce at Green State specifically, in my opinion, and one of our continued focuses, is that they have to go hand in hand. So marketing is how we market our products to our members and prospects. It's how we communicate to our members in bulk. And the CRM is how we then manage those relationships with our members and prospects. So that's the area of our sales teams to stay organized, our service teams to stay on track with, you know, member inquiries, issues, et cetera. So if those two things aren't aligned and then locked up together, there could be a very, very disjointed member experience. But since we collaborate and align CRM and marketing at Green State, it's really enabled us to provide the best possible member experience with not only ensuring the same message for every person that we market to or talk to, but also just providing that visibility and 360 view as to how we are communicating with our members historically and now, and then providing that information to our frontline staff to work with them directly on things that they may have uncovered or seen from past issues.
And Mackenzie, as we think about how your platform evolved, I mean, we talked a little bit about the history, about how we met, what you were researching, but I think one of the interesting things about Green State is you all actually started with nCino, which is built on the platform, and you had to navigate kind of understanding what is nCino, what's it doing for us, and how do we complement some of that work that's been done to build out the enterprise level CRM, which also incorporated marketing and a data strategy and a whole bunch of other features to it. It wasn't just CRM, which that's why we like to call this podcast Transcending CRM, because I think a lot of people hear Salesforce and think, yeah, I'm just going to manage my relationships, manage my pipeline, but like we're talking servicing, we're talking marketing, we're talking personalization and some really complex business processes. So can you tell the audience a little bit more about kind of what you did to understand what was happening with these two tools and how you leverage that information to really build out that roadmap for phase one and kind of what you're focused on building out right now for where you're at today?
Yeah, so with the Encino journey, I would say, I mean, without you guys, we had Encino for a year before we started the implementation with Financial Services Cloud. And without Silverline, that could have gone so sideways. So thankful that you guys were a part of that. So that I will say though that having, I'll kind of back up a little bit, having Encino originally before we went live with the Financial Services Cloud piece was actually one of the things that assisted us in our decision making to move forward with Salesforce because our commercial team was already on Encino. So having one team already on it helped us kind of sway executives to go that route as well. And historically speaking, as we all know, coming from banks, three of us, commercial bankers tend to be a harder area for change management when it comes to CRM use. So having them already using Encino and comfortable with it was just a really big advantage for us and our Salesforce journey.
So, Mackenzie, how did your experience in many roles and functions at GreenState and throughout your career in banking enable you to be a successful leader driving impactful change for the organization, especially as it relates to the Salesforce platform from the initial implementation and what you're doing today?
Great question. So in my past life, coming from the bank that I was at, I was the CRM lead there too, who worked with every single department that was utilizing the CRM. So it wasn't just retail, it was every department at that bank. So because I needed to learn about every area and CRM was new to me, I was new to the financial industry. So I just really started that whole process of learning the different areas and departments and the financial institution back then. So 14 years ago, I was meeting with sales, insurance, wealth, back office, seeing how the CRM could provide value, what pain points there were. And that was really the starting point of getting me where I am today with Salesforce at GreenState, which another thing that I can attribute our success to is focusing on the member experience and not just the product itself. So I do my best to keep my focus more member-centric than product-centric, which is can be hard because you can focus on all, I mean, there's so many features, functionalities, add-ons, so many things you can do. And if you go in the weeds and go down the rabbit holes of Salesforce and what you can turn on or implement without really keeping the member as the focus, you can get kind of lost in the weeds there. So I try to keep everything member-centric, and then I follow that with the users and employees and any pain points that we can solve for them using Salesforce. If their pain points are causing a potential negative member experience that we can improve upon, well, then that's the best. Like those are the fun ones because it's a win-win where it's improved member experience and improved employee experience. But I would say from when I first started off, just being really good at listening when I was meeting with all of those departments way back when, and I continue to do that. So I think that's where a lot of the experience and success comes from, is listening to the issues and the needs that are discussed and making sure that T's are crossed, I's are dotted before proposing any type of Salesforce solution to prevent any bad knee-jerk reaction. Because I'm not about to start saying, oh yeah, let's do that in Salesforce before we really like vet it, think it through, all the impacts. So yeah, I would say just listening and being, absorbing everything, taking in everything I can, shadowing when I can, really trying to understand every single department at the credit union.
I love the fact that you're talking about listening, being curious about what the business needs, what the member's going to need, how it's going to impact everybody, and also being agile. Like you've hit on that a couple of times. Like we're going to try things, we're going to have to pivot, we're going to have to make adjustments. But in your role, I mean, GreenState's not just using Salesforce. We talked about traditional Salesforce, which is Financial Services Cloud for you all. You also have nCino in your environment. You have MuleSoft, you have Marketing Cloud. Like you have a lot of tools that not only do you and your team have to understand and manage, but you also have to make sure the business knows how it works and how this stuff is going to drive value for them. And so I want to take a second and ask you to look back at everything you've done so far and really knowing what you know now and where you are today, what would you change? What would you approach differently? Or maybe there's something along the way that you experienced, you're like, I wish I would have spent more time on this. I wish I would have worked with the business more to really understand what they're trying to do. Maybe there's something you've had to rework or maybe rethink that you're now like, man, I wish I would have really thought through this one a little bit differently. Because I think these are always great lessons that the audience loves to hear because we've all been there. So curious what it is for you.
One thing comes to mind right away would, I would say probably implementing both Financial Services Cloud and Marketing Cloud at the exact same time. It was a massive undertaking. And I think as an organization, we bit off more than we could chew when it came specifically to the Marketing Cloud. I think we were a little bit naive on the build lift for Marketing Cloud. And so going back, I would probably do that a little differently. I think the executives and myself should have had more conversations around Marketing Cloud and what resources it was going to take to not only build it, but then manage it after the fact. So that's probably the biggest takeaway and lesson learned.
So more than anything, recognizing that these are all different platforms and different people really need to be involved in understanding what we need to launch with and then what it's going to take to support it. So you can kind of keep running right out of the gates. Is that a fair way to restate that?
Yep, absolutely.
So we're talking about, you know, anything you want to approach differently, but it was such a large implementation at GreenState over the last few years, and there's been a lot of big wins. But when you look at everything that's been implemented across the different lines of business, what would you say is the biggest win for GreenState during this journey?
Yeah, I'm going to say more than just one thing, because there have been so many wins since we went live May 2022. I mean, it really hasn't been all that long, but I would say biggest win is that 360 view of our members. So before Salesforce, we truly had a very siloed, disjointed member experience, but also employee experience. We had no idea. The left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. You know, we didn't know if mortgage was talking to someone, commercial, retail, back office, maybe they were working on a debit card issue. So there was everyone kind of was very siloed before Salesforce. And now we have that full visibility in 360 view. So we have every product and relationship that the member has, as well as services like if they have online banking, bill pay, MRDC, loan add-on products. We have everything in Salesforce so that we can see that. We can see exactly when they last visited a branch and why they visited a branch. We can see emails sent by Marketing Cloud. We have next best action going. We have case management. We have call logs, notes. We have completed or upcoming tasks showing. So all of this information right on the member record for everyone to see. We even have, you know, if we're working with them on something, if we're working on a home equity loan, they can see that it's in progress. This is the step that it's in. This is who's working on with the member. We have campaign history. We have that whole visibility for everyone that we never, ever, ever had before. And that has been game changing. And not only that, but we use Chatter to collaborate. So back office and front member facing teams use Chatter within Salesforce to communicate back and forth on if there's something going on with a member and they need something right away, or if there's an issue, or if a case isn't getting resolved. And that's all on the member record for anyone to see next month. So if the member calls in with the same issue, we can see, oh, this just happened last month. It makes us sound better. It provides way better member experience. But also, again, the employee experience is just so much better. That's the biggest win. We really needed Salesforce to bring everything together. And the integration with all of our core systems has provided us that full visibility in 360 view. And then other wins. So bouncing off of that, I would say just, you know, with employee turnover. So with our sales teams, if someone leaves before, we never knew what they were working on, you know, if they had something in progress, or, you know, maybe you'd have to go figure that all out. With Salesforce now and people living in Salesforce, that makes it really, really easy to just reassign things to others so that we're not dropping the ball. If someone goes from, you know, being a salesperson to a back office promotion, we can reassign all of the stuff that they were working on so we don't drop the ball and the members are still happy and satisfied and we're not missing things. If someone's out unexpectedly for 3 weeks because they're sick or something else, we can have visibility into those things and reach out to the members. So that's also huge when it comes to that 360 view and having everything in one place. The referral engine is a huge one. So every single department being in Salesforce allows us to send referrals to one another. And our conversion rate is 41%, which is higher than the industry average. So we see a lot of success in every area from just talking to members about other products that other people can help them with. Case management for efficiencies and insight into, you know, our service to our members around inquiries, issues, requests. And then with Marketing Cloud, we have 16 automated journeys pushing content out to the members that we don't have to touch, that they just go based on different parameters and criteria. So I can't give you just one win. And those are just some of my favorite ones. But yeah, it's amazing.
I'll say people are probably going to listen to this and think, like, how do you have all of this going on and how is this all possible? And I just have to give a shout out to your team. When we were implementing all this, like, your team was just full of rock stars, like the change management, the training, the champions and COE that you have set up. I mean, just looking at when we were talking about getting on this show, I love your email. At the bottom of every email, you have directions for everybody. If you have a Salesforce idea, put it in here. If you have a question about Salesforce, please start with your Salesforce champion or get with your COE. If you have a issue, put in a Salesforce ticket. So it's all just so organized and so streamlined for ideas, issues, just general questions. I mean, the change management that went on, like I said, I can't say enough about how your internal team worked together to make this all come to fruition. And we have a lot of projects where there's a lot of great stuff built, but the change management just isn't all there. They just kind of think it's all going to come together. But you can build the greatest stuff in the world. If the change management isn't there, if you don't have Salesforce champions in place, the utilization's not going to be there. And it's just, GreenState's an example of where it all came together and everything's working exactly how it should. Your referral conversion is there. People are using Chatter. It's just an amazing example of how, you know, if it's all done correctly and all, you know, trained properly and communicated effectively, how it can all come together.
Yes.
What recommendations or tips would you give to another product owner or Salesforce admin if they are a bank or a credit union that is looking to start their Salesforce journey?
Yeah. Number one, hire Silverline. And they did not tell me to say that. We would not be where we are without having you guys as our implementation partner. And I mean that wholeheartedly. You guys really assisted in guiding us along the way and, you know, asking the questions that needed to be asked and getting us uncomfortable and saying, okay, is this, you know, what are we doing here and why are we doing it? And making sure that we didn't just start changing everything, you know, in Salesforce to accommodate for how we were used to doing things. And so utilizing Salesforce in the way that it was built, because it is a financial services cloud. It's built for the financial services industry. We shouldn't be changing everything. Yes, we definitely did customize things. We are continuing to customize some things that work for GreenState, like Lobby Tracker, which you guys helped us with, you know, which is amazing. And it's a great tool that we use for when members come into the branches and we can track those visits and how many visits we're getting. But when it comes to the success of the implementation piece, for sure, Silverline was, you guys were amazing. And we really couldn't have done it without you guys, truly. So I appreciate the partnership that we had during that process. And then to piggyback off of what you said, regarding, you know, the champions and those types of things, the other big recommendation and tip is that whole crawl, walk, run approach isn't a joke. You know, you got to first focus on the users and the users and the users and the users. You got to focus on the employees, because the one thing that I've been very, very careful about is not having anything touch members where members can do something that the users have to act on within Salesforce until they were completely comfortable and the change management was there and that they were adopted and utilizing the system. Because if you start turning on the bells and whistles that you can with Salesforce, because there's a lot of awesome things and that we'll get there, but that can be an awful member experience if the users aren't ready for it. And if they're not comfortable first. So the biggest focus for us have been the employees. So we have 60 this year. I have 60 Salesforce champions. So these are subject matter experts from their own respective departments and areas. And they we have biweekly meetings with all of them. So what we do in those meetings is they provide feedback from their teams. So if there's any pain points, if there's anything going on that we need to be aware of, as well as share best practices and that kind of stuff. So again, someone's represented from every single department that is on Salesforce and you know, retail, commercial, a few others have multiple champions. And then every other week we're meeting on the first day of the new sprint. And we have the exact same agenda every other Wednesday. And it is, we share best practices tips. We share any successes from the last 2 weeks. We share pain points. And then we go through a demo of the work that was deployed. So we do a sprint review of the things that were deployed the past 2 weeks. And then we discuss and share the work planned for the following 2 weeks. Their action item after every meeting is to take that information back to their branches, teams, departments, and share it. So that's been huge for us and really, really beneficial to get in front of things before they become bigger issues. And to also, I mean, a lot of back office and front end, we have every one-on-one, because the whole reason we got Salesforce is for the collaboration and for that 360 view. So if back office is doing something that, you know, maybe the front end users weren't aware of that we could use or a feature or functionality, we share those. And then we work through those together and determine how people should be doing things, best practices as a company, not just an area. So it's not like we're doing retail champions in one call, back office champions in another. It's everyone on those. And that's been a game changer for us. And then also just, I would say, I think really just focusing on the users, the employees, you know, I think focusing on that member experience, not just the product itself. I do my best, you know, what we already kind of talked about is that whole, you know, member centric and not product. So again, we want to focus on those employees and make sure that they're comfortable. We also have, I would say, another thing that led to the success this past year is that we determined a few outcome goals specific to Salesforce that align with our company's strategic goals. And then I would use those three outcome goals for quick decision making when the backlog, you know, was insane. So that really helped keep the strategy in place, the focus in place, and we met all of our goals. So we had a great year. But I would say, yep, it all goes back to the employees. Here's the thing. You're not going to get the true ROI from Salesforce if you don't have people actually using it, because you need the users to be on board first before any of the other stuff is going to matter.
Just to bubble it back up, because you said at the first, your answer to your, like, just your welcome, being able to say no. Like, you got to focus on the users, but not everything they bring and that they want to do in Salesforce should be done in Salesforce. If you say yes to everything, it's just going to be a hodgepodge system of requests from everybody, and you do a great job of, because you have a lot of requests coming in because you have unbelievable user adoption, but you're able to say no and protect the system and bring in only things that are absolutely necessary to be in Salesforce, which is a lot right now, and everybody's using it, and it's awesome, but it could be a lot more, and you do a great job of saying no. So those admins, those product owners, you know, you got to be able to say no to some of those things that people want to bring into Salesforce. And you do an awesome job of that.
Prioritization is important, but also, like you said, Mackenzie, you said data. We got to make sure we understand the data. You guys did an effort. You were conscious and aware of where your data was and what you needed to do. You had a plan for training and change management. And I would say that Green State lucked out with you from a product owner perspective, because this wasn't your role when you came into it. But I think, as everybody's going to hear in this episode, you've got a solid team and plan that you are executing. And that is no easy task. That is probably the most critical role to a successful implementation, is having a strong product owner who knows enough about every part of the business, is willing to roll up their sleeves and really champion the platform and enable people and make sure they're aware of everything that's at their disposal. And like Elliot and you just said, like, say yes to the right things and make sure you take your time and get the most out of the things you are spending time doing, and don't try to go too fast or too far without making sure you're bringing everybody along, because the change is not easy. And I don't even think we mentioned it, but I think you all went through a couple of acquisitions and some other things all during this too. So it's not like there was nothing else going on. So
yep.
It really is a great story, and I appreciate you coming on and telling it. But before we wrap up, we do have one more question for you, and it's probably the most fun question, and it's been a little while. So we like to ask all of our guests to share a fun fact about yourself that not many people know. It can be an accomplishment, a talent, a fun, or almost unbelievable story that you'd be willing to share publicly.
Okay. So this one, I don't know too many other people who have done it, so that's why I'm sharing it, but it's kind of twofold. So first is, I'm terrified of heights. I mean, I tense up driving over bridges, scared of heights, like so scared of heights. But I faced that fear when I went on a hot air balloon ride in Scottsdale, Arizona. So that is my fun story is that I went on a hot air balloon ride at sunset, and it was amazing. And I faced my fear.
I've never been on a hot air balloon.
And
I'm also terrified of heights, but I also go to theme parks by myself and ride roller coasters. So, you know, so that's just me. I'm a, you know, almost 40-year-old guy just walking around theme parks riding roller coasters. But I am terrified of heights, and I've never been on a hot air balloon. I don't think I ever will be, because I would freak out.
Yeah, it was scary. It was scary, but it was worth it.
JP owns a hot air balloon.
I don't, but not a height thing, but I would never go on a cruise ship. So no, thank you. Don't want to be out in the ocean on a big boat with all those people. Nope, never.
Never been on a cruise. Always wanted to, but I have not been on one. Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much for taking time out of your super busy schedule and joining us for another episode of Transcending CRM. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast or leave us a review wherever you're listening to it. That helps us every step of the way. To learn more about Silverline, you can subscribe to the Silverline blog at silverlinecrm.com or follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook at Silverline CRM. That's one word, Silverline CRM. Thanks to all you listeners, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks, guys.